the brotherhood, playing for the guy next to you, playing for the team.
What's up, Buckeye Nation? You're tuned in to the Buckeye Cast.
Buckeye Cast.
Tradition of Ohio State, we take that serious.
These fellas were born and bred in the Buckeye State.
Buckeye Cast.
The people of Ohio, we work every day to make them proud.
Visit us at thebuckeyecast.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at the Buckeye Cast.
Buckeye Cast.
Now here's your host, Joe Warwick.
I'm proud to be part of this group. Go Bucks!
What is up, Buckeye Nation? We are back, bringing it. We are already 4 weeks into the season. Sean, what do you think? 4-0 sound about right?
4 weeks in. 4 weeks in, 4-0 sounds perfect. Getting ready to take it up another level, get back into the meat of the schedule with some Big Ten play. So first, third of the season is gone, bye-bye.
Yep.
And I got to say, they couldn't have looked much better.
I agree. We see Justin Fields moving up those Heisman odds. Unfortunately, Joe Burrow's in front of him. But, yeah, Burrow is out of control, man.
Joey B, man, yeah. How do you not root for that guy? Love exactly. That kid. Yeah. And, yeah, I hope this is his year in the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah, if Fields gets an invite to New York, I hope that Joe Burrow wins it at least, if Fields isn't going to. You know, they both deserve it at this point. We'll see how LSU finishes out there. I mean, everybody's heading into the meat of conference season, you know, where we're just going to beat up on each other in conference. So be interesting to see how LSU does in their conference and, of course, how we do. As always, folks, thank you for joining us. Hit the supply store. Still got that limited BOGO going. I think we're going to run that for another week at the most. And don't forget, the code is TBCSS, B-O-G-O, TBCSS.
I thought we were going to run that until Ohio State didn't score like 46 points.
Was that the number?
Okay. I don't know. So it was something like, I thought it was something like that. If not, it should be.
Yeah. Well, hopefully nobody's checking tape. Because I know I'm not. But yeah, we can run it until Ohio State is held under 46 points. I'm fine with that. So, folks, better wish for some touchdowns. So, yeah, we're going to run through this Miami game real quick. I mean, not a lot to discuss. Pretty lopsided affair, as we expected. Then we'll get into the Nebraska game coming up next week. And a little recap of this week in the Big Ten, in case you were under a rock or on a desert island, you might have noticed that a certain team up north lost in glorious fashion. I would say the big house is on fire. Sean, are you seeing any smoke from your vantage point up there?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, they were trying to give Jim Harbaugh a lifetime contract.
Mm-hmm.
And
turned it down, right?
I think so. And maybe because he knew they were going to hate him. And right now, the worm is turning on. And they've given him a lot of leeway. They're like, hey, he's our guy. He's actually put together some good seasons for him. You know, I think in his 4 years, he's got three 10-win seasons,
yeah,
which Michigan had that kind of success in a decade, right?
Right, since Lloyd Carr.
Yeah, with any consistency. So I don't know. The diehards are still in there and hopeful, mm-hmm, but I mean, let's get into that when we get into that. I got a lot to say about that.
Yeah. Stay tuned for that, folks. You might want to skip ahead if you're not into hating on Michigan. You might want to just hit stop right now. But we'll bring plenty of heat on those cocksuckers later. We gotta finish up this Miami game real quick, Sean. Have you ever seen 42 points scored by one team in one quarter? Ever?
I don't know if I have. I was thinking about that.
I know.
42 in a quarter?
Right. Not even in high school, I don't recall seeing that.
It's hard to do, and the only way you do it is with a block punt and two strip sack.
Yeah. Yeah, helps when the Predator is your D end.
For sure. And long, quick strikes, too.
Yep.
You know, long touchdowns, boom, gone.
Right. So, yeah, we'll run through the position groups here and some of the stats. Some of the things that I really liked, but then there's things to work on, too. I mean, we got, like, one of those games where, sure, we put up monstrous numbers in the stat sheet, but Fields still needs to tighten up his decision-making and his throws. His throws are still, he's going high with them sometimes, you know?
Little bit. I don't want to pick on the throws as much as, but the decision making, I'm 100% with you on. Just, you know, he took a sack early in that game. That was it's on him.
Yeah.
Decide and get out and just throw it away.
Right.
But you know, don't make some. And then there was a couple times even he did like pull it down and ran, but he should have done that like a half second sooner. And
right.
Because it was already there, and he's like, should I? You know, he just waited. He wasn't like foot in the ground and gone.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to come with experience, right? I mean, you got to think that these decisions are going to come faster for him with these types of games and situations.
You would think so, and I think they have. And I mean, listen to us old hens sitting here nitpicking a quarterback that's got how many touchdowns for us now?
19. That's all. This guy like two more than Haskins had at this point. But that's our job.
That's true.
Bang on 18 to 22 year olds. Tell them what time it is.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So basically, this was a bloodbath after the first quarter. I know we started off sluggish, you know, and took that big 5-0 deficit early. And again, I blame that safety on JK. You see that dude go right around him in the end zone?
I didn't get back to the hotel room to watch this thing until it was 5-0 and then picked it up right there. But I did not get to see that. JK missed a block on that?
Yeah. Dude came from the outside left of the offensive formation, and it was JK's man to pick up, and the guy just went right around him and kind of threw him and pushed him right back into Fields. And they were running, for some reason, this was fucking stupid. I blame the play call here because they're running like a post corner. They wanted to get to Ben Vick. As dude, you're in your own end zone. You can't be running post corners and shit that takes 5 to 7 seconds to evolve, you know? How about something quick, a slant, something out routes, you know, quick stuff to get the ball out of his hands. So I blame play calling there and JK letting himself get beat. And the guy just slapped it out of Fields' hands from the blind side. He never saw the guy coming. He was winding up. And, you know, Fields has kind of a slow wind up anyway, you know, which is something I think he needs to work on just long term. So, yeah, the guy came from behind. Fields never saw him, and he just slapped it. And Fields was only a yard or two from the end line in the end zone, and just it bobbled out of bounds, you know. So, that's on JK and the play calling both. I would have run a few, you know, QB keepers or something from under center, you know, to get it out to the 4 or 5 yard line before you start doing any passing and shit like that. But anyways, that onslaught in the second quarter made up for it, I would say.
42. Gosh, that was sick.
Okuda with the pick. That was his first interception at Ohio State. You know that?
I know. I can't believe that, really. That's crazy.
Right.
Well, he dropped one earlier.
Right.
Dropped one.
He did.
The first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Defense started off playing like a soft zone, and Miami just like started carving them up with these out routes right in front of them, especially to Okuda's side. He's like bailing, and guys are just, you know, running a 10-yard out or 15-yard out right in front of him, and it was easy pickings. So then they switched up to man and went more press, and that shut that shit down real quick. But
Well, yeah. I love the Miami guys. The coach's quote, you know, hey, when you play in Ohio State, it's like you have the recess and they get the first 85 picks, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, there for the first 6 minutes, Miami had hope, like, hey, you know what, we can hang with these guys. And then, well, not so much.
Right. Yeah. So we quickly scored. I believe J.K. had the first touchdown and then just laid it on from there. 42 in the second quarter, dude. That was just nuts.
Well, and it's spreading it around. You get a touchdown. Yeah. You get a touchdown.
Exactly. So Fields had four passing. J.K. only had eight carries, by the way. I think they're saving him for Nebraska. I think they want to keep his carries down, and they knew they wouldn't have to use him much this week. Fields had nine, which seems excessive. But you notice they're using Fields down around the goal line a lot and running that read option where they're not using him to run the ball as much between the 20s, you know?
Yeah.
They're using him a lot down around the goal line where he's not going to take those big shots from a safety. That's just what I see. Fields with two touchdowns rushing, the four passing, gives him six on the game. And they just spread it around, like you said, to everybody and their brother. I think I saw an old lady come out in a wheelchair and have two receptions. She had a nice little swing pass. The blockers got out in front of her and paved the way for her. I didn't catch her name. It's not in the stat sheet. But hell of a play by Grandma. And the turnovers were key. Like we mentioned, the interception by Okuda, fumble recoveries, strip sacks from Chase Young. Excuse me one second. Sorry. That second quarter was just, I don't know if you could draw it up any better. I don't know if you could cram any more points into one quarter, man.
It'd be tough to. Show me someone else throwing up 42. But you know what? The way Nebraska's D is, maybe something bad like that could happen too.
For them. Yeah, definitely. We got KJ Hill with the 53-yarder, Fields with
that
a 7-yarder.
That was nice.
Oh, yeah. My favorite throw was that laser on third down he threw to Ben Vick in the back of the end zone. That fucker almost went through Ben Vick. That thing is probably impaled on his chest. That was a rope, dude.
And I'm going to give props to the best run after catch, I think, was Austin Mack that went like 15, 20 yards for a touchdown. Yep. They got called back from holding.
Yeah, he gets the effort award this week, I think.
Yeah, he was diving, you know, came up. He probably should have held on to that ball, but, you know, diving freaking catch. The guy just plays his butt off.
Yeah.
Love some Austin Mack.
Yeah, he didn't show up big in the stat sheet, but that effort play just shows what he can do, and we haven't seen in quite a long time. Then we got Olave with two touchdowns in the same quarter. Jesus. So
Olave is, I don't know, dude, he just amazes me.
I think him and Fields, they might be roommates, I don't know. You remember Austin Mack and Dwayne Haskins were roommates, and that's all we talked about last year, and how they had this great connection. So seemingly, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that Fields and Olave are roommates. If they aren't, they should be. Right?
Joe will pay the rent.
Yep. Your rent's due, motherfucker. Don't pull that falling down the stairs shit. But then we, the fucking second half, old Chugs came in, whipping the ball around the yard with no abandon. Fucking, how about Garrett Wilson and his circus catch?
Garrett Wilson is a freak. I can't wait to see more of this kid. And was it Chugs that threw it to the other new guy?
Crowley. And Jameson Williams?
Yeah.
That was Gunnar Hoke.
Oh, yeah. Jameson Williams ran away from those. We got Dude. Williams and Wilson. Yeah.
True
and
freshman.
And then all those kids coming in and Olave back next year.
Oh.
Good night.
Yep. This is speed on
That's
speed on speed.
That's a lot of dudes.
Yep. And Wilson may not be the fastest guy in the team, but that fucking circus catch was just highlight reel shit, you know?
Oh, I don't know. He ain't slow.
No.
When that Williams kid was running down there, he was the only one that could really hang with him.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, Jameson Williams just, he caught that quick little hitch, turned around, and nobody was there, and he was like, I am gone.
Yeah, ran away from everybody, from a stop.
Mm-hmm. On a hitch route. It's not like he was running a post or something in stride. That's 0-60. Yeah, so.
And then separated. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys are freaky. I mean, I don't know how you keep a red shirt on them, do you?
I don't think so.
Obviously not Garrett Wilson. I mean, that's a given. But Jameson Williams, I mean, he plays on special teams,
too. You don't have to decide,
right?
You don't have to decide at this point, do you?
No. And that's a point that Ryan Day made the other day, and he told James Laurinaitis that they don't want to tell kids that they're redshirting them right now, because then they'll slack off in the weight room. They'll slack off in film study. They'll think that, you know, this year is a waste for me. Why put in the effort? And it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, you tell me I'm not playing the rest of the year. I'm like, you know, fuck you. You know?
Right.
So they're not going to tell kids that they're redshirting them. These are going to be internal discussions, kind of the way it used to be in the old days, right? I mean, I think that's the way coaches used to handle it, is they kept these decisions internal and didn't communicate to the kids, which can be good and bad to the kid. I get it.
I don't know. You keep them engaged, keep them part of it. I don't know. I don't mind it. I like.
But and you never know. Like, what if we lose two or three receivers to injury? We've seen it happen before, you know, at one position. So you lose two guys, and you're
sure.
We need Jameson Williams right now.
Well, just guys that get, you know, not even season ending, but right. I mean, just about every receiver misses a game or two through a season.
Same with running back, even more so because they're taking a pounding. You could lose JK for two games easily.
Oh, I don't think you redshirt any of those guys. I think Steel Chambers and Crowley look good.
Oh.
They run hard.
Yeah.
I like these kids. And with Teague, I was a little worried about our running back room. These freshmen are good.
Mm-hmm. Steel looks kind of like Teague, and Crowley looks kind of like JK, right? So we got like the 1-2 punch in size and abilities, you know, that are JK and Teague, and then Crowley and Chambers. I'm really interested to see how this plays out.
Well, I think it'll be, you know, this year it's set what it is. You know, in meaningful minutes, it's Dobbins and Teague.
Mm-hmm.
If one of them were to get hurt, I don't know, would one guy just replace, or they'd probably both be on call, you know, hey.
Yeah.
And McCall will get in there once in a while, but,
yeah.
You know, they need a Crowley or a Steele.
Right.
Chambers back there.
Somebody between the tackles. I mean, it's become clear without Ryan Day telling us who the number two running back is, and it's not DeMario. So he's going to have to work in elsewhere, you know, to find reps. So Buckeyes put up 600 yards total offense to 130 by Miami. Defense played great. Again, I wanted to run through some stats. We got to get back to Chase Young and the D-line. Even without Cooper, Tyreek, and Beebe, we still dominated that O-line for Miami. Check out these stats, Sean. I got to break this down real quick. Chase Young, this guy is if he had that pick six last week, he would be looking at a possible Heisman campaign, I think.
So very likely.
Right now, he's only played in 14 quarters of football. Okay? That's only just over 3.5 games. He has 14 total tackles, 7.5 TFLs, 7 sacks. 7 sacks. Keep in mind, the Ohio State record is what, 14 in a season? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 14. I think he might get that. 2 forced fumbles, 1 pass deflection, blocked field goal, and on top of the sacks, he has 14 quarterback pressures. Dude.
And, I mean, and you say he's got 14 quarters or whatever you want to call it. They're still rotating him in and out while he is in there.
Exactly.
He's not even full-time. I mean, look at his snap count. The first game, I think he got probably the most he's had all season.
Right,
the guy's getting 30 something snaps a game.
Yep, which is nothing.
No,
but he's super fresh. You know, I mean, like he's like ready to go every snap. You don't see him sucking wind. You know.
Well, and it's so amazing because, like you said, Tyreek Smith and Coop have been out, or Gimpy.
Yep.
And with BB out, we are so freaking stacked there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Haskell Garrett was player of the game.
I just...
Come on, man. This is nuts. He's a junior. I get it. But this shit is just loaded. Tyler Friday was basically the end opposite of Chase for this game. And Tyler Friday was hawking down people from behind. Downfield, I mean, he's looking good. He's not a big. He's got to work on his pass rush skills, I think, off the edge. But when you got Chase on the other side, it's just he was abusing that tackle on both sides of the ball, both sides of the line. Honestly, he was beating the tackle before the tackle even got set in his pass defense. You know. And same with the quarterback. He was getting to the quarterback before the quarterback finished his drop. It was just nuts.
It's insane. And Zach Harrison got some meaningful reps out there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Buckeyes look great. Teague did have the one turnover. Penalties, I'd like to pare down a little bit. We had 6 for 52. Like to take those down a couple notches, but we've been doing well so far this year. We've really made a turn this year compared to the last few years, and we're one of the lower penalized teams in the country now. We used to be one of the worst. Defensive side of the ball, I want to quickly, I mean, I'm looking at this stat sheet on defense. I see like 40 guys with tackles. Dallas Gant, repping the 419, leading the team in tackles. Also had 1.5 sacks, 1.5 TFLs. Played virtually the entire second half. He was flying around. Love watching that kid play. Again, I mean, I could go down here all day long. Malik with a TFL. Jayshon with a TFL. Haskell Garrett, 1.5. Yeah, Jayshon. Chase with 2. Browning with 2. Did you see Browning knife through that fucking line and lay out that fucking running back?
What, on the body slam one?
Yeah, where he fucking rocked him. Oh, he is playing like out of his mind. We haven't seen Baron Browning play like this ever.
Oh, that dude is, he looks so fast and tough. Yeah. So that Baron Browning, he's going to be a mother.
Oh. Yeah.
He already is, man. Yeah. I mean, that dude is flying around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Davon looked great. Zach Harrison with a couple tackles. Everybody got in the game and played a role. Javante Jean-Baptiste up in there with 1.5 sack and TFL. So even Antoine Jackson got into the act late.
Keep grinding.
Yeah. So all in all, you know, a good warm-up game. That's kind of like a preseason game to get warmed up for this Big Ten schedule. Moving into Nebraska, is there anything else you want to cover on the Miami game? Anything I missed?
No, I mean, we knew what it was going to be. It was exactly what we thought it would be, and even worse. You know, probably, you know, the first 5 minutes of that game, you're like, oh, come on, don't let this be a 30-17 game. And it wasn't. So, I mean, to me, I actually think Ryan Day did a great job of coaching that game. He, you know, tried to run out there in 2-minute drill, kept the pressure on. I don't think it was in bad taste. We've got a lot of new things that we're trying to put together, and we're about to hit the Big Ten. Yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, we took out our starter, you know, at halftime.
Yeah.
And brought in these other guys. And look, we weren't going to just sit there and run it a bunch of times. We need to work on some things with these guys too. And to me, that was what we needed to do. We needed to see those looks.
Yeah, 13 guys.
It gets real.
13 guys with a reception. 5 guys with touchdowns. Nice distribution. Actually, 6 guys. I missed Crowley there on his little out route in the end zone. So, yeah, I don't know how much more complete you can play of a game, but again, you have to kind of consider the opponent. So shit's going to get real right now. I know Indiana was a Big Ten team last week, but they're middle of the road, you know, 500 Big Ten team. Nebraska coming in with all the hype and Scott Frost and blah, blah, blah. They're supposed to take over the Big Ten, and so far, you know, they look kind of like they always have. What are they coming in here at? 3-1, I believe.
Who'd they lose to? They lose the late game to...
God damn it.
They lost to Colorado.
Right, in overtime. Yeah, so this is a night game, 7:30 in Lincoln. So an away game at night is going to be a new thing for most of these guys on the team. It's on ABC. College Game Day is going to be there all day in Lincoln. So they're hyping this one up. And you know that those Cornhusker fans are going to be out there in full force. But they will be nice to you. I promise you that. They will not say an obscenity.
What is Game Day doing there? Is no other good games this week?
That's my guess. Yeah, let me check the scoreboard real quick and see who's coming up.
With Frost, I mean, I think they're getting, you know, they still get decent recruits out there.
Mm-hmm.
Frost has done a lot with less. So you would think, and I think they are trending up, but it was a bigger hurdle to climb than, you know, oh, we got this guy and he's going to be great.
Yeah.
Program's going to be great tomorrow. Well, not so fast.
Exactly. He does have some talent coming in. Just to look at the scoreboard real quick, there's only a couple crappy ranked teams facing each other. Got USC versus Washington, Virginia versus Notre Dame, Auburn, Mississippi State. They're not ranked. Alabama, Ole Miss, I guess you could kind of say that's a big game. I wouldn't.
Didn't Ole Miss just get pants?
Yep. Speaking of getting pants, Michigan, Rutgers, Penn State, Maryland, that could be a ball game. Maryland's not ranked, but we've seen them put up some numbers first 2 weeks of the season. Yeah, not a lot of options otherwise as far as ranked teams, but we're getting into that conference play at least, you know. That's key for everybody. Last year, Nebraska came into Columbus and eked out a loss. it got close late. We won 36-31, if you remember. They fell on some bad calls and some penalties late, kind of cost them the game. But that was a game that was never in doubt from Ohio State's point of view. This year, though, this is the strongest offense I think Nebraska's had in years. They got Adrian Martinez, everybody talks about, I know. But then they got that running back, Maurice Washington. We were recruiting out of, I believe, L.A. or California at least. Then Wandale Robinson, we were going after at receiver. And then the other receiver that's been there a while is J.D. Spielman. So some speedsters, some guys that can make plays in space, and especially Wandale Robinson, he's like your Rondale Moore. Wandale and Rondale could be problems.
And Rondale.
Yeah. Yeah. These are the guys to keep an eye on, in my opinion. Who'd we have? Adrian Martinez lit up Illinois the other night. They needed two touchdowns late in the fourth to win that ball game in Champaign. And Martinez is a dual threat guy. He put up over 300 yards passing, over 100 yards rushing, three touchdowns. And that Wandale Robinson had, what did he have? Three touchdowns himself, the freshman. The issue I see with Nebraska is they're heavily penalized because they're cheaters. And they do not take care of the ball. Like the other night against Illinois, they had four turnovers alone. I went back through their first 4 weeks. They had four turnovers against Illinois. They had two against Northern Illinois. So they've taken care of that state. Against Colorado, they lost in overtime, had three turnovers. And against South Alabama, they had five.
Wow.
So they don't take good care of the ball. And like I mentioned, penalties, here's eight.
They hate the ball. The ball don't lie.
8, 9, 1, and 4. So they're all over the map with the penalties. So, yeah.
This is just the type of game to be afraid of, though. This is Purdue. This is Iowa all over again. A team that's completely overmatched. They've got some talent. And the Buckeyes are riding fat on the pig into town. This is where coaching and your leaders need to be focused. Yeah. And not let things get out of hand. Look, I'm still waiting for... Fields is still a young guy. He hasn't played that much football. I'm still expecting a game where he has three turnovers responsible for. I'm expecting that somewhere. This is the type of plays that could happen. And then the game gets away from you, and then you start forcing stuff.
Sean, if we lose to Nebraska, I'm going to fall off my fucking bar stool.
You would have said the same thing about Purdue last year.
I probably did. Go back and check tape. Yeah. But if you keep calling something a trap game, is it still a trap game? I don't think so.
Who the fuck else is calling it a trap game?
They've been calling this a trap game since fucking summertime. Back when everybody was crowning Scott Frost the Big Ten West.
I don't think even defining it, calling it something, you can change it. Just it's that weird phenomena that rears its ugly head against Ohio State a lot in our history, where we have a lot better team and lose to an inferior opponent.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'd say the last 2 years have been definitely issues. But before that, I mean, the only people we lost to was like Michigan State and shit.
And Michigan State had a good team that one time, but we had that loaded team that lost to them. We should have never lost to them.
2015.
And just we always seemed to lose that game. How many times did we, under Cooper, go into Michigan with a lot better team and get blown fuck out?
Well, yeah. That's a different coaching staff, though, and different time. I mean, yeah, 98, we lost to Michigan State there, too. I know this one sets up nicely for Nebraska, but I don't see the talent across the board. And I see this defense that we have now is a night and day different defense from last year. They're not letting those gashing big plays happen. Guys are not getting wide open. You know, the one concern I do have is a mobile quarterback. We haven't really seen that yet. So
not to this level. I'm with you. That is the question du jour.
That sounds good. I think I'll have that. So yeah, their defense is not anything to write home about either. I'm going to go ahead and assume that they're not going to be able to hang with any of our receivers, and I doubt their D-line is worth a shit.
Yeah, I think we should be able to run it right down their throat.
Yeah, that's why I think they saved J.K., gave him limited reps this week, because expect a heavy dose this coming week. So that's why, getting into the microscopes, I got my money on J.K. I want to see what he's got. And I think we're going to ride him to victory.
That's a solid pick right there. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think our big nasties up front, I think they like blocking for guys that run hard. And our guys run hard.
Yeah.
Right now, you can see that they all run hard.
Yeah. Yeah, so who you got on your offensive microscope?
Well, I got to go with my boy Fields. First, you know, Big Ten, really more quality opponent on the road like that. I know we had Indiana played our first Big Ten game, but this is a different animal. Mm-hmm. Traveling out here to one of these schools, going to get you, you know, this is how it is in Lincoln and in Iowa and in Purdue. These are these settings, these are these towns, so. Yeah. They all kind of are the same venue to me, almost, out that way. And their fans bring it.
Yeah.
I got to see how Fields reacts. Like I said, this game can scare me for the simple fact that, you know, Fields is still a young guy, man. I'm expecting a game where he makes some mistakes. I'm not even going to kill him over it. It's just like, hey, of course you fucked up. You're 18 or however old he is now.
Right. As long as it doesn't cost the game, yeah.
But, you know, I transitioning over, I think you have to look and, you know, the D can give him a lot of confidence that, hey, you know what, I don't got to be that worried because my D this year, like you said, is tight. My microscope on defense is going to be on tough Borland or / Baron Browning, who's ever basically got the shadow on – Martinez,
right?
That's the one thing that worries me. You know, you get those third and tens, and this guy runs for 12 yards,
right?
That type of stuff.
Yeah, you got to assume the faster guy is the better option, right?
I would think, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see how they do.
Yeah,
they've been what, getting about equal snaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually. So it seems like Tough Borland is starting off the games, like the first two series at least, with most of the snaps, and then Browning's coming in, and they're still equaling about the same number of snaps. So Tough is kind of almost coming in and getting a feel for the game plan and what the offense is bringing to us, and then he's kind of relaying that to the coaches and what he sees on the field, and then Browning is actually coming in and playing the bulk of the meat of the game, you know, which is a very unusual way to run linebackers in and out. But
that's weird. So your contention is that Tough is running reconnaissance?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. And getting guys lined up in the correct defense, because he's kind of the quarterback of the defense, you know, as a middle linebacker, so...
Right.
And from what I've seen and from what I've heard, he's running basically the first couple series of every game, every snap. You know, obviously, unless they come out in three or four wides, then you got to get Tough off the field. But if it's a traditional, you know, 21 personnel or 12 personnel or whatever, you know, he's going to be in there and then kind of bring in Browning to clean up and take the game plan forward. But my microscope on defense, I went a little deep on this one because I think he's going to be on the field a lot. And I'm going with Sean Wade because we need to take care of Spielman and Wandale Robinson. So those two guys, you shut down those two guys, and Maurice Washington too, to a degree, but Wade's not going to be watching him as much. That's going to be like Werner's responsibility, and probably Brendan White. We're going to see a lot of the bullet position. So I'm going Sean Wade because he needs to lock down those slot receivers.
Well, that's interesting because, you know what, just thinking back, and again, live, I missed the first part of the game. I watched the 40-minute version on YouTube. We didn't see much of Sean Wade this week.
No. Yeah, and they weren't running a spread formation at all. You know, they were running more traditional stuff, and they were running option and goofy shit. So, yeah, that's probably why we didn't see much Wade at all. But the week prior, you know, they were running more spread stuff where we need a third DB on the field.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I expect to see a lot of Sean Wade, and he's going to have to come up huge this week because they're going to be spreading us out with athletes, trying to get us out in space against, you know, their running back and receivers.
Yep, open up a late running lane for Martinez or something, too.
Exactly, yep. And, yeah, it's going to be – this will be a great challenge for the defense, and I think that'll be a good measuring stick for where our defense is and what we can handle and can't handle. So score predictions. Buckeyes, the spread came out at 15 today. Interesting spread. So if you include the 3-point home spread, Buckeyes are actually favored by 18. Sean, do you recall your score prediction from preseason?
I'm actually looking at it right now. And
did you have that tattooed on your arm?
No, I got my notes, man.
All right.
And my original prediction was 48-28.
Right.
Ohio State.
How does that feel to you now?
I kind of like it, but I feel like I want to drop Nebraska's score down to like 20-21. Uh-huh. But you know what? I'm going to stick with it. 48-28.
Okay. This is a game where you're probably going to see the starters deep into the fourth quarter, which hasn't happened yet this year. On both sides, you know.
Yeah, and I think we won't always be slinging it around like we did working on things with Miami. I think it'll be a more controlled attack.
Yeah.
Balanced. I mean, it'll keep modest, but it we'll see. I don't know. Nebraska's D is weak.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's a big, big problem for them. And that's why I think we're going to need to salt the game away in the second half with J.K., and this is going to be his workhorse game with carries. And I'm going...
I think he still probably goes out in the third... Oh, go ahead.
I'm sticking with my prediction, 51-21. I give them 3 scores generously. I think our defense is coming out here to make a statement every week. And I don't see Adrian Martinez being so slippery that he can put up more than 21 points at all. And they're not going to stop our offense.
Well, on my 48-28, I mean, I see us being up, you know, 42-14.
Going,
you know, late,
the
and then, yeah, and it's, you know, okay, all right, let the young guys play, and,
right,
you know, Martinez might still be out there and, you know, keeping some drives alive with his legs.
Right.
You know, if they got these good young kids, like you say, they got some athletes, they're going to make some plays, right?
Sure. Yeah, guys are going to make plays. Player going to play.
But, I mean, they need to keep Ohio State's offense off the field. So, I mean, to me, the only way you're going to have a chance with the Buckeyes is to grind out drives.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably what we're looking to do on the other side offensively, is ball control, not let them get their ball, get the ball in their playmakers' hands. You know, if we score quickly, great, but I think you're going to see a heavy dose of the run game. So, yeah, all in all, we cruised to victory the way I see it. But we got to get into this Big Ten. What in the fuck just happened over the weekend? I'm honestly, right now, I'm not looking forward to Wisconsin coming into Columbus. We're going to have to beat them twice this year.
Yeah, that's true.
The way I see it. So, as you all know,
or just once, if you're gonna lose one, lose this one.
Yeah, not the last, right? So, as everybody knows, I mean, again, unless you are under a rock and you don't like seeing Michigan lose for some reason, go ahead and hit pause and delete and unsubscribe from the podcast. But Wisconsin smashed Michigan 35-14. It was not even that close. And I mean that. Like, it was 28-0 for the bulk of the game. And that was without Jonathan Taylor for the entire second quarter.
Right. He got dinged up.
He had fucking cramps, dude. Who sits out a whole quarter for fucking cramps? Jeez.
Well, I don't believe him. I think everybody's lying when they go in there.
Baby back.
Cramps? Bitch. Is that what he was saying? Cramps?
That's what they said. Yeah, he came back in the second half and fucking lit it up again. But, yeah. And I think Dylan McCaffrey was executed on the field. If anybody saw that hit.
I didn't see that, but what, he get smoked? He got a concussion, I heard.
So, like, it was back-to-back plays, dude. The two safeties for Wisconsin both got ejected in back-to-back plays. It was so,
really?
Like, the first one was a bullshit targeting, like the kind that we always get uproar about, you know? We're like, that's not a fucking targeting. Because the guy, like, lowered himself. McCaffrey was sliding, and the guy came in, and it hit him with his shoulder pad. And it just, you know, because McCaffrey started to slide awkwardly, it was not like a baseball slide. It was like a tumble slide. The guy caught him in the helmet with his shoulder pad, you know, and he got ejected. Then the next play, the other safety's like, you want fucking targeting? I'll give you fucking targeting. And he fucking went helmet to helmet and almost knocked McCaffrey's helmet off of him.
I got to go Google that.
Yeah, I would check that out. So McCaffrey, I have to assume, has to be in the concussion protocol. And should not be suiting up anytime soon.
No, I heard he was, but you know what? That pisses me off. Don't fucking headhunt kids.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them, but I don't want it happening to the Buckeyes. I don't want it happening to anybody.
No, it was a totally dirty play, and that's why they're coming up with the rule, and that's what the NCAA is trying to get out of the game. But it happened to Michigan, so I kind of don't care. But anyway, Wisconsin just rolled.
That's not it. They just got trucked. They ran right down their throat.
Yep.
Would they end up with rushing 300 plus?
Oh yeah, at least. I didn't see the final numbers, and even Jack Cohn, I don't have much respect for him as a quarterback, but he had a couple good plays. He had a nice 25-yard touchdown run when, you know, things opened up in front of him.
What makes you not like that kid? That kid's looked nothing but awesome.
Just, I don't know. Last year he sucked, dude. He was terrible. I haven't seen him be able to carry a game. So, like, say you shut down the run, I don't think you can rely on Jack Cohn to carry the team. to victory.
I don't know. They got that Cyphus. They got so far this year. That kid's looked really good, throwing it, running it, and you know it's nice when you got that line and you got Taylor back there.
Right.
It's just a freaking gosh, that Taylor.
They haven't played anybody before Michigan, so I'm gonna go ahead and like they had a bye week before Michigan. So I'm going to go ahead and not count the USF game and who they play, Central Michigan or some shit. I'm not going to count those games, man. Same for their defense for not allowing a touchdown until this game. Doesn't count, you know. Yeah, I'm just reading.
Yeah, but seeing what they did to Michigan, it does count. Because, yeah, I would be giving you the same thing like Abigail didn't play anybody. But now they just played the number 10 ranked Wolverines and fucking pantsed them.
Yeah, they went for 359 on the ground and five touchdowns.
That's disheartening. That'll break your will right there.
Yeah, Harbaugh admitted to it after the game. His after the game quotes were, "We were outplayed, outcoached, outschemed, everything." So he didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't try to fucking change the narrative. He admitted to it, and I guess that's the first step when you realize you have a problem is admission, right?
There's a problem. And you know what they said? They said that, you know, they brought in Gattis. You know, everyone was so high on him up here, and I've been reading some of these boards, and now everyone's like, why the hell would you bring in Gattis? But then people are arguing. So I caught the beginning part of that game. And Michigan, like their first play from scrimmage went freaking 80, huge play, dude down the sideline. Then they got like a first and goal or something like that, and they bring in a last year's fullback who now plays D-tackle. This is after a timeout, mind you, and boom, he immediately puts it on the ground.
Right.
You know, the guy's got like elbow pads, fucking all kinds of bad.
Who do you think called that play? Was it Gattis called that?
There's no way that you brought in Gattis to bring in the old fullback.
Right. Right. Who the fuck is calling that play? Dive.
And immediately coughs it up.
Harbaugh is playing Nintendo and yanking the controller.
Right after that is when Taylor broke off that 60 or 70 yarder.
Yep.
And it was like, oh my gosh, Michigan's going to be in big trouble today.
Yeah, that spread of 3.5 turned out to be a little light. So check out these numbers. Michigan under Harbaugh. I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, but 0-4 against Ohio State, we know that. 1-9 versus top 10 opponents, we've talked about that. 0-7 as an underdog, so they live up to that underdog title. 1-6 on the road against ranked opponents. 1-6 on the road. 5 losses by at least 21 points, including 3 of their last 5 games. Going back to last year, obviously. Yikes. Those are not good numbers.
And no,
like,
I mean, it's
like you mentioned, the message boards are just fucking loaded with Harbaugh hate. The funniest one is, let's hire Urban Meyer. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you thought this through?
I mean, to me, what they're going to have to do, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm changing my mind mid thought here. I was going to say you have to stick with Harbaugh. Who else are you going to get?
Yeah.
Harbaugh, Michigan guy. But at some point, kids aren't going to want to be coming there.
Yep.
And their season's not over. I mean, they could turn it around. They've got a lot of talent, which is the surprising part. They're more talented than everybody they play except the Buckeyes. Yeah. Maybe Penn State.
But, Sean, Harbaugh has recruited high-quality talent there. McCaffrey was, what, a 5-star? Brandon Peters, 4 or 5-star, something like that. Specifically, I'm talking about quarterbacks. And Peters transfers out, never got developed. Now he's at Illinois, getting beat by Nebraska late. And McCaffrey, what's he done in his third year?
He got knocked out.
Well, yeah, but he looked like garbage anyways. He looked like a backup quarterback in that game. He didn't look like the heir apparent to Shea Patterson, you know, and he had to bring Shea back in.
You got a lot of people up here talking about a lot of people talking about this man who might be a true freshman, maybe a red shirt, but I guess he can run. He's got a cannon for an arm.
Who's that?
But
Milton.
Yeah, but they don't know where he's throwing it all the time.
We saw him.
He whips it around out there.
We saw him last year. Yeah, he came in when Shea got knocked out of the Ohio State game. Yeah, he sucks. Yeah, I mean,
he ain't afraid to spread it around.
Yeah, yeah, that's part of the challenge, I guess, is having the balls to throw it. I guess it doesn't matter who it goes to. But my point is, he's recruited high-quality talent. Like, these guys were recruited by other teams, you know, McCaffrey and Brandon Peters. And he has done nothing with their talent. He has done nothing to develop them. And that's,
I agree, for the quarterback whisper. He totally lucked out with Aaron Luck.
Oh, Luck fell in his lap. He didn't develop much in that case. Other than that,
for sure.
What's he done? I mean, I think we're watching. But I guess
he's not a big game coach. He wins the games that he's supposed to because he's got better talent. And
but those games are dwindling.
He just gets out coached. He's a stubborn old bastard.
Yeah, but those games that you should win are dwindling. He's getting to the point where he should be an 8-4 coach, not a 10-win coach. You know, like I told you, I got the under on 9.5 wins this year for Michigan, and I'm feeling pretty good about it right now. When I look at their schedule,
the under on that,
yeah, under 9.5.
Nice.
I see them losing 3 easily, especially the way their offense looks right now.
Yeah, they got Notre Dame and Ohio State left,
and Sparty. Hell, they could be challenged by Maryland, for Christ's sake. That could be a ball game. So anyway, let's scatter our seeds around the rest of the Big Ten. Michigan State goes 31-10 over Northwestern. Hunter Johnson, I watched this game actually while I was watching the Michigan game. Hunter Johnson sucks. Whoever labeled him a 5-star is a fucking moron. Or your recruiting service should be shut down. That guy is inaccurate, can't run, and maybe it's just the grass, the high grass of Northwestern's field, but they are not good. They benched him in the third quarter, for Christ's sake.
That's what I heard. He can't run and he can't throw.
Him and the backup.
Sit on the bench, though.
Had no touchdowns and 3 interceptions. I realize Michigan State has one of the better defenses in the country. I'll give you that. But they did 0 on offense. And now I understand why the spread was freaking 9.5, 10 points. Shit.
Yeah, which was strange because I was like, how's 9.5 points? Michigan State usually scores.
Yeah. Well, Michigan State had the explosion of 31, probably their highest scorer on the season, and capped off. It's easy to score 31 when the other team can't move the ball and are just going 3-and-outs. So that was a rough game to watch. That was kind of watching it out of the corner of my eye kind of game. Nebraska-Illinois went late into Saturday night. Like I mentioned earlier, Nebraska took it into the fourth quarter and needed 2 scores to behind the back of Wandale Robinson. Kid's a stud. Definitely would take him on my team any day of the week. J.D. Spielman went for .160. So again, highlighting the guys that we need to watch on defense. But it's Illinois, for Christ's sake. If you're a good team, you should not be trailing in the fourth quarter to Illinois.
I agree. I mean, Illinois, their coach has the best beard in the business, but
that alone should be worth
garbage.
10 points.
I mean, they won their first couple games, but I mean, they're in games against directional schools and schools you never heard of. So to me, and would they put up 38 on Nebraska? That's why Nebraska's, they're going to be in trouble. Buckeyes are going to, if Illinois put up 38 on you, we're putting up as many as we want.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, Nebraska gets a road win there. Good job. Not much credit given. Indiana, we don't care about. Rutgers lost to Boston College. Yeah, that's the meat of the Big Ten, all we care about. Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, obviously. If Wisconsin takes any injuries, they could be in trouble, though. They definitely don't have our kind of depth on either side of the ball. So if they start losing O-linemen or D-linemen, I could see that really hurting them.
Well, just the overall speed, I don't think you can, even with good starting guys, it's just too deep. I don't think their guys can hang with it for four quarters when we're rotating in all this speed.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough for anyone.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I wanted to recommend to our listeners, if you're looking for some lowbrow entertainment, just go to mgoblog.com. I enjoy toilet humor as much as anybody else, but this stuff is high-level hilarity. When people are recommending that they hire Urban Meyer, they should secede from the Big Ten.
Come on, they're the pride of the Big Ten. The most overhyped team ever. I think we did that last year. We look at like Michigan's preseason rankings and where they finish. Yeah. Right. It's just ridiculous how much hype they get. Yeah. Them and Notre Dame, me too.
Yeah, that was a good game, though. At least Notre Dame showed up, made a ball game of it. They were still in it late. I was in and out on that Georgia-Notre Dame game, but hey, man, they put up a fight much better than Michigan did. At least they were in it.
For sure.
Against a, you know, a high-quality SEC team that could possibly win that conference. So.
Well, I look for Notre Dame to beat up Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think, what do we got, a couple weeks till that game? I think Notre Dame's too strong for Michigan. Michigan doesn't have the all-around team to handle.
They can't run the ball either. I mean, they lost all their running backs, and then that Charbonnet kid, they only gave him a couple carries. Like, he's still hurt from 33 carries against Army. And
You know, the big bruisers of Army. Their D-linemen are 225.
And that upperclassman O-line really got worked.
Dude, that first half was terrible from the O-line's point of view. Forget the rest of the team. But their O-line, Shea Patterson, I think that's why Harbaugh pulled him out, because he was getting killed in the first half. The O-line couldn't stop anybody. And lest we forget, who that O-line coach might be.
Yeah.
Ed Warner.
Which is a bit surprising to me.
Play caller extraordinaire.
He was never that, but he was a good O-line coach. Yeah. Maybe he just had...
good athletes.
Maybe it's easy to do when you got the talent.
Yeah. Put your hand here, and you can do it faster than anybody else. Yeah. So, old Ed, I think he's getting... probably going to get... or a ticket back to Minnesota after this year. Probably where he belongs, with a middling Big Ten team.
Did Minnesota... oh, Minnesota had a bye week.
Zach Smith told a story on his podcast about Ed Warner that I thought was pretty interesting. He said that when Ed was at Ohio State, that he would... so they shot video of the entire practice, right? And the video editors would cut up all the offensive line plays, you know, and of every offensive line play that happened in practice, and they show it in meetings after practice to all the coaches. And Herb obviously was sitting in. Ed Warner would go to the fucking video editors and make them cut out the bad plays where their O-lineman got beat from the video.
So, really?
Yeah. Like specific plays where somebody got beat because he didn't want it in Herb's eyes. He didn't want to be exposed. So he went to the, and you know, as a video editor, you're going to take orders from everybody because everybody's your boss, right? So he fucking made these kids, not kids, but younger people, you know, that reported up to him, cut out these bad plays from practice. Maybe he's not such a great coach.
Well, he got a ring.
Yep. He had some talent to work with. It's not like we were recruiting 3 stars.
There's some talent there now, too. I wonder the same thing about Coach Stud. Coach Stud any good, or is he just got a bunch of dudes?
Yeah. Right. Like, you know, like most of recruiting is just Ohio State. You know, it sells itself. That's at every position.
Every single position. If you want to play in the league, go to Ohio State. But you got to get on the field. And there's going to be someone else that's badass right next to you that's trying to keep you off the field.
Iron sharpens iron.
I think that's where your high quality, high character kids want to go.
Yep.
It's like, all right, hey, we'll find out early if I'm good enough.
Exactly.
If I am, then maybe it's something. If not, I'll make sure I get my education.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you watch Big Ten Network, but you got Perry on there now.
Right.
I mean, that kid looks great.
Laurinaitis
doing, Buckeyes everywhere.
Right. Fox has Herb, obviously. They brought in Charles Woodson this week, and probably was not a good week for him to be on the show. I don't know if he's going to be a regular mainstay on the Fox pregame show, but he's pretty good. He's smart. He's not an idiot.
Ohio boy.
Sure. Yeah.
No, Woodson. Woodson's better than Dez.
Oh. Yeah. Woodson's not going to say something stupid, that's for sure, like Dez would.
I think he ripped. I think Woodson ripped Michigan, though, yesterday. Oh,
he did on the show, dude. At halftime and after the game, both. At halftime, he was banging on him. Then after the game, he just said, I am just embarrassed. I'm completely embarrassed by this team. So he's not holding anything back when it comes to Michigan. And him and Herb, you know, were on set doing like, you know, play breakdown, you know, about man-to-man versus zone and this and that. And it's a pretty good breakdown. I mean, these guys obviously know what they're doing, and they can discuss it so that moron fans can understand it. Yeah, I don't know if Woodson will be back on. Anyway.
Buckeyes. Real life Wednesdays, Buckeyes.
This could be you. So anyway,
pour
folks.
Some out and pour a little out for Hopalong Cassidy.
Yeah, big 4-0. He's living here in Tampa. He was good friends with George Steinbrenner. Did you hear that story?
I did. I think he worked for the Yankees for like 30 years.
Right. Heisman winner, national championship winner under Woody. Dude is only like 5'9", buck 70. Legendary.
So, hold a baller.
So yeah, great show, folks. Let's get ready to beat Nebraska. This is going to be a good one.
Right.
I love a good night game. We haven't had one yet. Always makes it more exciting, more electric. Even though those
it's
fans,
electric.
Yeah, those fans will not say a single cuss word, to be sure, and they will give you a corn on the cob before they would tell you to fuck yourself. But anyways, as always, hit the site. BOGO is still going on. We are moving some merch, and all this money goes back into the program. Hopefully we can expand this thing out and go worldwide. Sean, appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Folks, we appreciate you listening, and Have a good week. Let's beat some corn. Go Bucks.